We ought to look at it, I guess. John 12 at 27. Jesus says, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No way." Well, the way isn't in here. "No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. What are we hearing? So many things happen in our lives. Are we hearing thunder? Are we hearing some divine being talking? Or are we hearing the voice of the Father? We're all busy with our lives, but there's only one thing that's really necessary. It's like Mary's posture, seated at the feet of the Master. Martha was busy doing things that needed to be done, but Mary chose the better portion. Some people came to Christ in John 6, you can read it, and they said, "What must we do to work the works of God?" And he said, "Believe on the one the Father sent." Just believe. All the works have been done. In Haggai, in the first part of the chapter, he's coming to the children of Israel, speaking a prophetic word, and he says, "Why are you working on your own houses and leaving the house of God in shambles? You need to work on my house." Where is God's house now? Is it this building? It's every one of us. We're busy with our lives, but we need to work on our house, on his house. And it's an ongoing thing to keep our hearts prepared for what he says and what he does in our lives. If we look back at the time of the tabernacle in the Old Testament in Exodus, there was a couple of instances where the glory of the Lord fell so heavily on the people there that the priests couldn't perform their duties. And I always pondered that. Well, the duties were things that God said they needed to do, right? They were the go-between between the people and God. So they were necessary things. But God's glory made them not able to do it. Isn't that a problem for you too? You know, that's a problem, huh? Just like Mary and Martha. Martha was doing the things that needed to be done. Mary blew it off and was just focused on Jesus. These are some things we need to deal with. We get way caught up. The words that have been coming the last couple of months have been about his glory within us, being on a heart journey, restoration, listening. Those are some of the themes that the Holy Spirit has been weaving together. And we need to hear these things. Christ's mission on earth was to free us, to restore us, to release us from any kind of bondage. And I know in our hearts we all want this, and we're trying to open up and let His finished work be complete in us. I mean, it's complete, but it's like in radio, there's a seven second delay. It's just, we don't quite see it yet. We're hearing it, but we don't quite see it yet. You remember the disciples, after the Mount of Transfiguration, they came down and they were immediately presented with a problem where this man had a boy that he was in convulsions, and the disciples couldn't cast out the demon. And you can read that. It's in Matthew 17. And Jesus said, this kind only comes out by prayer. Prayer, not talking to God, listening. So many of our situations in our life are going to change when we listen. The situations that we come through are to expose areas that aren't life. And as we open up to the life of Christ, we change, our response to that situation changes, and the situation changes. Probably in that order. You know, we always want the situation to change. You know, it irritates us, that situation out there or that individual, they irritate us, right? But the change starts by just opening up to the freedom that Christ has already given us. Once we're free, and as we're free, we're freeing up the people around us. We get it backwards. We want so-and-so to straighten up first. We need to just allow a greater freedom to work through us. You know, it's that little bit of yeast that the woman worked into the flour that eventually worked all the way through. It's that little bit of yeast that's on the skin of the grapes that ferments it and turns it into wine. And I brought up before, you know, the wine has the original components that the grapes had, but they're transformed in nature, completely different character. That's the work He's doing in us. Are your family members free? It's pathetic, isn't it? We all have loved ones that they're not free. I mean, it's easy to see the speck in our brother's eye, pretty difficult to see the plank in our own. So the Spirit is confronting us daily about our freedom. We're pretty checked out on everybody else's, though. We don't need the Spirit for that. But there needs to be a concern in our hearts, and I'm sure there is, for the people around us. How do they get free? As we allow the freedom to radiate from us, it frees everything around us. It's fantastic. Does this take work? And no, it's the lack of work. It's surrender. I like Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame the enemy by the blood and the word of their testimony. Well, the blood has to do with cleansing and justification, right? But their testimony, what is testimony? That's not how, it's not talking about you standing up and telling, you know, how you found Christ and all that. Testimony is a declaration of facts. The facts of who he is and who we are. I see in the church there's almost a denial about who we are. We just want to study who Jesus is. Keep ourselves out of the picture. But you know what? We are in the picture. We are the Christ in the earth. You know, this is his house. We can't tear the two apart. We can't know one without the other. We can't know ourselves unless we know Christ. And in a way, we can't really know Christ without knowing ourselves. We're I don't know, braided. The two of us are one. It says over in the scripture that we're one with him. You know, when people are married for a long time, they start to act like each other. Well, how do you pull them apart? How do you say this and that? Isn't that scary? Philippians 2:12 says, Paul says, work out your salvation. I wondered about that. I think ever since I got to know Christ, what could that mean? I mean, he already did the job. Work it out. That goes back to the story of the sower, where he's throwing the seeds out on the four different kinds of soil. Working out your salvation is letting the Holy Spirit lift those things out of our nature that we want to keep in denial about, facing them, get those rocks pulled out so the soil is good. We don't start with good soil. You look at any soil around and it's got gophers and weeds and rocks, right? So we allow the Holy Spirit to delve into our nature and expose these things that he wants to lift away from us. Well, maybe you think it's too painful or you're too busy. It takes time. Ask any farmer. You know, it takes time to plow the soil. He's not out there with a rake, you know. He's got to get his discs out there. I know the vineyards up in Northern California, when they're going to prepare land for a vineyard, they rip the land. And they have a big bulldozer with a big blade that goes 6 to 8 feet below the soil. And it rips it and just mixes up all of the strata. I think that the Holy Spirit is a little more effective. So we just need to cooperate with what he's doing. As long as we have that war going on in us, we're kind of unstable. You know, the word says a house divided will not stand. So let's give ourselves completely to him. Give ourselves completely to the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. We don't really know who we are. That's a lot of it. I know Leonard has brought words about that. It's in every Sunday. It's a theme. We have police around in every municipality that help keep order and take care of things that happen, right? Well, do they have the authority to arrest you? Yeah. Why do you know that? They just do, huh? We recognize it. And do they have any question whether they have the authority? None at all. We're just like that. We're just like that in the spirit. Because we're one with the King. He's given us everything. If you read 2 Peter in the first chapter, he says we've been given everything. But we're not sure. Are we slave or heir? Remember in Galatians 4, it says as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave. Well, is that because the father doesn't trust the child or because the child just can't figure it out? Who was free in the prodigal son story? The older brother who stayed with the father or the younger brother who squandered the inheritance? Who was free? I think the younger brother was. But you know, he realized that freedom without the relationship to the father wasn't worth very much. Christ has set us free for freedom's sake. I love how Christ was free enough where he said, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only speak what I hear the Father speaking. What about us? What's our excuse? I mean, I ask myself this. I wanna hear what he's saying. I wanna do what I see him doing. And I know all of you do too. It's just going to take a little time listening, getting to know his voice. Are you hearing thunder? Or are you hearing the Father? Remember when Elijah was told to go out to the entrance of the cave when he was up on the mountain? He said, God said, I'm going to speak to you. And there was an earthquake, there was a wind that ripped the rocks apart, there was a fire, and then a still small voice. And when he heard that still small voice, he ran out. There's so much bombarding us in our lives that's loud and attention-getting. It's a still small voice. He's not going to speak above the TV. The work is so complete in us, but the yeast is still working through us. So we can come to him and we can be thankful that he's done the work. And we can ask that, you know, speed those yeasts up. Get them through my life. Let the changes happen. I think we're more clear about the qualities we don't have than the qualities we do have. Could I use you as an example? I apologize in advance. We have things we say. You say, I'm not creative. We say, I can't sing. I can't bring a word. I can't minister to that person. It's not true. Those are all agreements with the enemy. All of them. We have the King inside of us. We can do anything He tells us to. Anything. As we spend time with Him, we're gonna hear the qualities that we have. We're all different. That's what's cool. But all of us have His nature. And it's going to be expressed in a different way. How small are we going to make God? You know, you look through binoculars and it brings things closer, right? But if you flip them around, it makes things really small. So we just need to flip our binoculars around so that God's big. So we see Him close and He's big. And when we look at ourselves according to what He said. Not according to what the world says or our experience says. So what do you have to do? Believe. Believe on Him. We need to free our loved ones. It's not a work that we're going to set out to do. It's His Spirit within us. So, you're the first loved one that you want to see free. And everybody around you. I don't want to see my family members bound. I don't want to see them trapped in some pain of the past. Cry out. Cry out. We're too comfortable. We're too busy. Look at John 15, please. Starting at verse 7. If you remain in Me and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to My Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be My disciples. As the Father has loved Me, so have I loved you. Now remain in My love. If you obey My commands, you will remain in My love, just as I have obeyed My Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that My joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are My friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from My Father, I have made known to you. Everything He's heard from His Father, He's made known to us. I'm listening to hear that. That 7-second delay is in effect for me because I don't see it all yet. But I want to. It's finished. It's a complete work.
I think Terry brought it out real briefly. We have this tendency to discount ourselves. And so we have these things that God wants us to do, and we pray to him, okay, I want to be taken out of the way. You know, you just speak your word through me, and I'm out of the way. And so I had this thing this morning where I was asked to lead worship. Okay, well, Lord, get me out of the way so that, you know, you can do it. And he said, no, I need you. I need you. Last week, I won't say who did it, but there was a musician up here that was hitting a flat note once in a while. And some interesting things were happening. And as I listened to what was going on, I heard God tuning up for a new worship, a new symphony, a new movement in the symphony of praise and worship that we've already been into. And you talk about the little things that we do that we don't even know that God's into. We had a violinist here, and he was tuning up, and it just brought it all back. You know, all he was doing was tuning his instrument, and it blessed me so much. When we're listening to God, we tend to listen for you guys, you know, especially if you have any kind of authority put on yourself. We listen for you guys. And a lot of times, what he's giving for you guys, he's really giving to us. And we just need to personalize what he's doing. Yeah, go ahead and bless out. But listen to what he's saying, because he's talking to you too. Oh, heavy word. I don't know if you guys feel the same way as I do, but wow. We come short way too much. I think there's too much of a selfish motivation and focus. In 2 Corinthians 5. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. He died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Terry's talking about being a new creation. And it's unbelief that we hold on to that says we can't do this or we can't do that. And certainly, as we're in motion in faith, God's going to bring a humility. We're not going to become arrogant. We're not going to become prideful. But he has a way of dealing with his people as with sons, and scourging us and correcting us. But we do want to have a heart of love, the love of Christ controlling us, that we would minister to those around about us and see our families and those around touched by Christ. But it's only as we die and come forth as a new creation. He's given us that ministry of reconciliation, namely that Christ, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the same word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And Lord, help us to believe in that word of righteousness.
and believe that you're righteous and that we're identified with you, that we're new creations in you. Lord, that you would transform us into those who would be controlled by the love of Christ. Paul was delivered over to death in many ways. For Jesus' sake, he says, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And he says, so death works in us, but life in you. He really had a grasp of that. And boy, Lord, we repent of our selfish nature. Before you, I repent of my selfish nature. And Lord, I ask that you help me to become part of what you're doing in the earth, part of the body of Christ that would minister life. Lord, we are the deposit of your house on the earth, that we ask that your glory would again fill your house.
Yes.
God, we ask for the glory of God to fill your house, Lord, as we die to ourselves and unselfishly love one another to minister Christ out. We exalt you for the work that you have completed.
I know the word has blessed us very richly today. I have a feeling this is a type of word that'll keep on ticking. It's going to probe and bring a deeper understanding to us, a deeper surrender. And so if the word keeps on working, we need to keep on listening. Lord, thank you for your words of life. We take them in our heart. We say, do unto us according to your word. Amen. Bless one another.